Foodies Unite! On this episode of From Ohio are two of the culinary world's most influential influencers. Emily Fedner is the creator behind the wildly popular Food Lover's Diary on Instagram. She's also the proprietor of the pop-up Petite Pasta in New York City and host of the new podcast Friends of Anthony Bourdain. And seeing as I'm a meat and potatoes guy, I invited friend chef Jordan Andino to co-host. Jordan's new show, Cook at All Costs, is now streaming on Netflix. Emily Fedner is from Ohio. How do you feel being from Ohio has sort of influenced you being an influencer?
Well, that is a very interesting question. You know, my relationship to Ohio, I would say, is really unique because while I do consider myself an Ohioan and I'm very proud to be from Ohio, I also have immigrant parents. So I think, you know, I love that I grew up with this like sense of Americana and I was in the middle of Ohio. And I think that experiencing the juxtaposition of my family's culture and the things that we ate compared to kind of what was normal for Ohioans and people in Central Ohio at the time is what kind of planted the seed for me for being interested in the way different cultures eat, because I saw it firsthand between my household and my friends who were generations back from Ohio.
Right. Now, your parents are from the Ukraine, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. How did they get from the Ukraine to Columbus?
I'm not even kidding when I say someone told them there are jobs in Ohio. Because
people work out there. People work.
You think Brighton Beach, and some of my mom's friends came to, you know, Brighton Beach. My parents left the Soviet Union when they were 28. Mm-hmm. And my mom had a friend, Mila, who left when she was 15. And she was living in New Jersey, which seems to make sense.
Right.
However, when my mom and my dad were getting ready to leave in 1988, Mila was like, listen, there are no jobs here. Everyone's kind of struggling. But I have heard of this place, Columbus, Ohio. And as it turned out, like my grandma's sister, something had also was also randomly in Columbus, Ohio. So it worked out that way.
Right. Okay. Jordan, have you ever been to Ohio?
We wanted to go to Ohio, but we just for some reason never went because we were filming something called Late Night Eats, and we were trying to find the best like late night eats around the country. And mm-hmm. apparently everything in Ohio, at least at the time, like it all kind of closes super early there. So what I garnered from it and then the little bit of research that we did was Ohio is just like a not sleepy like place, but a place that's like blue collared and just like a USA workman's town.
So now this sets up the next question. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Emily's podcast, which is called Friends of Anthony Bourdain. But Emily, if you were to, let's say, act as a producer fixer for an episode, a new revamped version of Parts Unknown, right? And we were going to send Jordan to Ohio to be the host of the show. What would you set up for him? Where would you send him? What would you want him to see?
Or what would you really also, what is like a truly Ohioan dish or food or cuisine?
All right, well.
What's on the menu?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, obviously I'm immediately going to food and restaurants. I'm from Columbus, Ohio, so I can't really speak for the other areas of Ohio. So for our intents and purposes here,
right,
we're going to talk about Columbus, Ohio.
Sure. I just want to say, you don't remember Max and Irma's. Do you remember?
Of course I do.
Okay. That was my favorite.
What, like Irma's mac and cheese, yeah, or something?
Well, I'm excited about this.
Okay. Oh my God, Max, does it not exist anymore?
Well, I heard there's like just one. I know. The original one in German Village just closed. And then I think there's one near Lancaster that might be open. But yeah, anyway, Max and Irma's would have been on the list. But okay. Emily, go ahead and tell
them. Absolutely. Well, I have to say I do not have the coolest, most up-to-date opinions on Ohio, which I think actually makes me, my opinion's cooler because they are older and they have stood the test of time.
Yep.
So I would, boy, this is tough. Well, first of all, I'm from Bexley, so we're going to start with some Bexley local spots. There is a place called Giuseppe's Retrovo in Bexley on Main Street, and it is an iconic, authentic, better than it ever had to be, Italian restaurant in the tiny town that I grew up in called Bexley. And I think that you would really enjoy a meal there. I feel like that would be the more high-end version, high-end experience we would have. Not high-end. It's very local, but it's not, you know, it's not like a tiny mom and pop.
Well, I think what you said, better than it needs to be.
Yeah.
Because, like, I really understand what type of restaurant that is. Yeah. It's like all of this, like wherever you are, and yet you're so tasty and delicious. Like, well, you don't need to be this good, but you are.
But I love that because it's a restaurant that at least, you know, when I had visited, I had many friends who worked there throughout high school and stuff. They don't, I love a restaurant that doesn't abide by like the standards or the knowledge or lack thereof of maybe the people in that certain area. They are the best for themselves and what they want to be. And that's a really amazing restaurant. I would take you to a brewery because Ohio has really incredible beer culture.
Yeah, yeah.
There's Land Grant. There's
Land Grant is great. Yeah.
It's so great. Wolf's Ridge Brewing is an incredible brewery with like a very good restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can eat delicious food and experience local beers that are made right there. So we definitely have to have a brewery experience.
Mm, I agree.
And then I would take you to Arch City Tavern, which is where I spent a lot of my youth working at this beer bar kind of pub-ish place. I worked there throughout college and they had like 32 beers on tap. I learned a lot about beer there. I still really love beer.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's like rare. I mean, I don't want to... I'm gonna get in trouble.
Are you a Pilsner girl, no. An ale girl, a lager girl?
I love sours.
Wait, guess. Oh, what? Oh,
sorry, I ruined it.
Okay.
I like sour beers.
Oh.
I love a fruited sour.
Uh-huh.
That's my favorite. But back in the day, I liked IPAs because I was like, I liked the slight amount of
floral hoppiness.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now I'm not an IPA girl anymore.
Right.
I'm a stout. I love stout.
Emily, do you have? Do you like the Emily? Emily, do you, this is always a fun question I like to ask, is do you like potato chips?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know of the potato chips from Ohio, and do you have a favorite regional chip?
I don't know which ones are from Ohio, but if you tell me, I will gladly
tell there's like
you.
Beldrich's is from Ohio, Grippo's is from Ohio, Grandma Shear's is from Ohio, Cane's potato chips are from Ohio.
I've never heard of any of these chips.
I have heard
They're
of
regional, Grippo. Jordan, oh, okay. They're regional.
I've
That's why you
Grippo's,
wouldn't know.
But I can't say that I have too much Ohio potato chip experience.
Right. We might have to put a variety box together.
We should have just had a little tasting right here.
We should have.
Oh,
we
that would have been awesome.
That would have been, you know what? That's what I should have brought to the show. That
That's a fun thing to do for future.
Yeah,
Ohio,
that would be good. All right. So now the next question I have is, you've got a lot of stuff going on. I checked out that little pop-up pasta place. You've got Petite Pasta, right?
Mm-hmm. I've been there. It's amazing.
Jordan went recently.
Well, I have to say, I walked in there and I was like, what? I'm like, there's no space. How could this girl possibly do an event in this place? And there was a young Italian girl and I said, how do you do this? And she showed me the boards in the back and how they set it up. So tell me a little bit about how you got partnered up with the daughter of, as I guess you would be like the great-great-granddaughter of your founder of, is it Raffetto's,
so
right.
Sarah is
which is here in New York City, by the way.
Exactly, on West Houston. So Sarah Raffetto is the great-granddaughter of Marcello Raffetto, who is the founder of Raffetto's Fresh Pasta. And believe it or not, like so many good things that have happened in my life, meeting Sarah was the result of Instagram. I was like really missing cooking on a more professional level. We got together in the summer of 2019, hosted our first pop-up. When I think about that event, I'm like, wow, we really truly had no freaking idea what we were doing. And but what was born out of that event was an immense like love and respect for each other. We are very much alike and we loved working together. And there were no female chefs after me. We just kept it to the two of us.
Who do you invite to these pop-ups? Is it by invitation only?
No, it's actually not. There are two formats of dinners. One format is private events like birthday parties, mm-hmm. and wedding rehearsal dinners and corporate events for people over the holidays. So there's private events and then there's public dinners. About once a month, we host a public ticketed dinner. We sell tickets on Eventbrite and we basically email a link to buy tickets to our mailing list, which is now, I just checked, it's almost 7,500 people.
Wow.
So
wow. The
tickets, it's great. A madhouse every time. It's so humbling, but everyone's like freaking out. And the first the majority of the tickets sell like right at 12 o'clock and then there's a big issue because they're pending in people's carts and like I get a million DMs and stuff.
Got the Beyonce problem now.
Yeah,
right?
Yes, it's so famous.
Listen, speaking of fame, I want to talk to you guys about two of the new things you've got going on. Jordan, you've got the show on Netflix. Is it still running? Are you still taping episodes?
Mm-hmm.
And so tell us a little bit about the show. You were so excited when you were announcing it. How did that come to be?
Yeah, so the show is called Cook at All Costs and it's three home cooks are given three boxes, like mystery boxes that they bid on, and they basically make a three not three course, but three plates using that. So in like the kind of chopped format.
Okay.
And then it's blind judged by a celebrity chef. And then I'm just the host and also auctioneer, and which is the whole kicker. As the cook happens, they're given $25,000 to start, and they get, and they use that money to bid on ingredients that come through the two rounds of cooking. The trick is any money they don't spend, should they win, is the money that they take home. So that's where the cook at all
costs. They're going to try not to spend a lot.
Yeah. Or like, yeah. So it's either, you know, trust your skill. And then that way your skill comes through and you get to take home more money, or spend for the great ingredients and spend and all your money in order
the
to
truffles, win. Buy the truffles,
yeah, and win the title of winning. So,
right.
It was great. It was eight episodes filmed in Toronto, Canada. I'm still waiting to see if I'm getting the second season, but it's still on Netflix right now. Right, everyone can watch it.
And just so people know, you were like a contestant on some shows yourself, right?
Yeah, you know.
So it's like you've been on the other side of that. So tell us about that.
Yeah, it's been a pretty wild side of like being both contestant and host. And
yeah.
I would say like when you do those cooking competitions, the pressure is there, and really the pressure on yourself, because like, you have such high expectations to deliver just what you think you can.
Right.
But also knowing that there's thousands, millions of people watching, and also all the lights and all the people and all the money is just. It's a lot. It can be a lot. But, you know, I think the home cooks that were on the show, they did a great job, and it was so much fun. And I hope a second season comes along.
Okay.
I have a lot of respect for people who do those competition shows, because they give me anxiety even to watch. I loved watching Cook at All Costs. And I also love the concept of the show, because I'm such a firm believer in not needing expensive ingredients mm-hmm. to make wonderful food. So I just loved that was almost like rewarded.
You have a podcast now called Friends of Anthony Bourdain, where you go back and you talk to people that have worked with him, traveled with him, set stuff up for him. I've thought it's been so fascinating. And the one guy that I really was... very, I thought was great was, it was the guy that was like his producer that went
Tom
to the
Vitale.
Congo.
Yeah.
Love that you called out the Tom Vitale episode, because in doing research for the episodes, you know, I am very obsessed with being prepared and stuff. And I actually going in knew the least about Tom Vitale, because mm-hmm. he's so behind the scenes.
Yeah.
He wasn't
in front of the camera.
In front of the camera.
Yeah.
And he became the person that I was most excited to talk to.
Yeah.
After doing a bunch of research on him. I mean, he was a tape logger at, I think, Food Network at the time.
Yeah.
And
worked down the hall or something.
He was like 22.
Yeah.
His entire professional career, 20 years of it, has been dedicated to Anthony Bourdain.
Who are your culinary heroes? Aside from like Anthony Bourdain, who are the people that you really always looked up to? I know, Jordan, in your case, you had your dad was a chef, and mm-hmm. he's the one that kind of mentored you along. But who are some of the people that are your influencers?
I'd say I was fortunate enough to work for two of them, Thomas Keller and Jean-Georges
oh,
van
wow.
Richten. I worked at their restaurants, and I thought that just the way they worked and the way they managed their kitchens and the ethos that they instilled upon their chefs and their cooks was something that I emulate in my restaurants to this day. And Eric Repair, I just respect, because he's someone that we call it selling out in the industry, where, you know, he doesn't want to expand and throw his name everywhere. He wants to do one thing incredibly well. And he knows that the more things he does, the further away it takes him from his original baby, which is Le Bernardin. And so I love the fact that you have that kind of conviction, like right. Towards like your craft, and like I've always respected that about him.
Mm. So that's something that you've maintained then work ethic.
I would say I'm on the other side. I probably have sold out. My name is on countless other things and endorsing products, but you know that's just my path. But I love the fact that. Eric Repair could do that.
I have respect for both paths.
So what about you, Emily? Which path are you on?
Culinary idols. What path am I on? Am I going to sell out or do one thing? I think I'm closer to Jordan's path.
I have to choose one. Right?
Like, I'm chasing, you know,
Well, get back to the heroes first of all. Yeah.
Culinary heroes. Can I say my babushka? Like, can
yeah.
I say
yes,
my grandmother?
Of course.
My grandmother and my grandfather were Holocaust survivors, and food was really precious to them. And I grew up basically raised by them, because my parents were starting their lives over in America. And so my earliest culinary memories are...
Did they come... Did your grandparents come to Columbus as well?
Yes, but my parents had to fight to get them over. They came over in 1991, and I was born in 92, along with my twin sister. And my parents were like, hey, we have no money and also no time for childcare, so, like, we need them over here. They need to, like, take care of our kids.
I'd love to get their impressions on Columbus, Ohio.
They, like... I mean, they stayed very insular and didn't speak... They never... really even spoke English or anything like that. But my grandpa made his own wine, his own bread. The second bedroom of their apartment was just a pickle room. It was just pickles, pickled tomatoes, pickled watermelon, pickled cucumber, obviously. Smoked his own meats, did absolutely everything from scratch and from memory.
And by the way, for the record, Food Lover's Diary, which is your account on Instagram, was started where?
In Columbus, Ohio.
There you go.
When I was at Ohio State.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was showcasing local Ohio restaurants and cooking.
So when you go back, like, what's the one place that you really want to go, or the one thing you just have to have?
As far as places in Ohio, like...
Or it could be... Well, I would say it's probably going to end up being your mom's cooking.
Well, it is, but we're going to first start with restaurant Donato's Pizza.
Right.
Donato's Pepperoni Pizza is my... is better. I'm going to say it. I'm going to do it. It is better than any New York pizza. And I am obsessed.
I'm looking this up right now.
I am obsessed with Donato's. It is like, it's, they have this amazing thin crust. It's coated with cornmeal on the bottom and the sauce is perfect. The cheese is perfect. Tons of pepperoni. I freaking love Donato's pizza. So that is something I always have to get when I'm back in Ohio. And then, of course, my mom's cooking. My mom makes amazing food. So every time I come back home, she texts me and she's like, all right, so what are your requests? And I request certain dishes like her tifteli, which are these incredible meatballs. And she makes amazing soup. And I also request a Costco run, even though I know there's Costco everywhere. Mm-hmm. There's something about eating Costco in my childhood home and like hovering over a tub of whitefish salad that just feels so good.
And that'll do it for this episode of From Ohio. We'll see you soon. In the meantime, give us a follow on Instagram at @from_Ohio and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. See you soon.